The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
While the evidence has been overwhelmingly obvious for years that, for example, Nigeria is one of the most dangerous places in the world to be a Christian, in a recent column at Christian Post, my guest observed that there are a number of other nations as well where religious freedom is increasingly in crisis, especially under the current Biden administration. Hedia Miramati was a devout Muslim for almost, about 20 years, two decades or more, working in the field of national security. But then she met the Lord Jesus and experienced his redemptive power. She now has a passion for sharing the gospel and dedicates herself full-time to something called Resurrect Ministry. It's an online resource, and also her daily podcast, livingfearlessdevotional.com, also an exclusive columnist for the christianpost.com, which is what led us to this conversation. She has an article there, or a column, called Religious Freedom in Crisis Under Biden Administration. Heidi, I always look forward to the chance to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always great to be with you.
These are troubled days. They've been increasingly so for Christians all over the world. But it seems to me, and I would like you to elaborate on the fact that the tide has risen against Christians. Case in point, I go to Nigeria first because that's where you go in your column. And we would have hoped that Secretary of State, that's what I'm looking for, Blinken would have made a real difference in a positive way going to Nigeria and coming home. So let's start there, because that's where you start with your column.
Sure. So in Nigeria, Tony Perkins, actually, who happens to be a religious freedom commissioner and also runs a family research council, says that he estimates 8,000 Christians were murdered in cold blood between January and September of this year alone in Nigeria. It's referred to as one of the killing fields of defenseless Christians. And it's just an absolute tragedy that at this point in their time and what's happening across the country in this almost to the levels of a genocide, and Blinken actually removes them as a country of particular concern from the religious freedom report.
Has anyone asked him publicly, at least, about that since, as to why he did that? I know it, we've talked with Sam Brownback about it recently, and I know you and others have been concerned. But has this anybody picked up on this in a public way in the media to ask him why he would do this?
Well, actually, yes. So, as I mentioned, Tony Perkins headed up a letter, an open letter, of which actually I'm a signatory, and a number of other individuals and Christian organizations are signatories, basically criticizing the move and asking for an explanation. There has been no response, but the way, and so what I put in the article as well, is the way this administration is arguing is that freedom, religious freedom and liberty, and the persecution of Christians in particular, is only one of the human rights of many foreign policy interests that we have to balance in any relationship with a particular country, which is very different than the approach the last administration did, and Secretary Mike Pompeo in particular, who made his faith and the protection of Christians and also religious freedom and liberty for people of all faiths front and center in U.S. foreign policy. So any country or representative that was going to have diplomatic relations with the U.S. knew that this issue would be on the table when negotiating any kind of trade deals or economic sanctions, whatever it may be.
I do understand that the secretary, as you put it, reprimanded Nigeria for its lack of free press and dismal human rights record. But he undid whatever little impact that may have had. I would say he undid that by his act of removing Nigeria as a country of particular concern.
Right. And this is actually, and the reason the CPC, as we refer to it, designation is important is because it gives Congress the pathway to impose economic sanctions. And by lifting it, it basically removes that power from Congress to do that. And another example I gave in the article is the aggression of Turkey and Azerbaijan against Armenia, where in the 100-year anniversary of the genocide, even though President Biden is the first president to acknowledge the genocide, which is very important, Blinken then turns around and gives millions of dollars in new aid to Azerbaijan without the required guarantee that they would not militarily attack Armenia. And as a consequence, the Azeri president sends troops and invades Armenia proper, using it as basically a signal that his efforts would not be stopped.
And that's a battle that's gone on for, as you say, 100 years of trying to get this nation and our presidents and our members of, of Congress and so forth to even admit that it was genocide to begin with.
Right. Exactly.
Talk about beyond that. It would be sad enough and bad enough if just those areas were places that needed to be addressed. But you also note more than 340 million Christians are dealing with persecution on a daily, on a regular basis. Take us into some of the other areas, Middle East, Africa, Asia, very high levels of persecution, as you point out. What more can you tell us specifically about some of these other countries?
So interestingly, that unfortunately, that statistic is now at 400 million Christians live in lands of persecution. So of the countries, that means literally one out of every eight Christians faces severe consequences just based on their faith, which is really quite astonishing and tragic, to tell you the truth. And unfortunately, a lot of them are in Muslim countries. So it is throughout the Middle East and Africa and Asia. And of course, some of these countries have been designated by the U.S. government in the Religious Freedom Report, such as China, Iran, Pakistan, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan. India, which was actually not listed, has been one of the most violent years for the Christian minority since independence in 1947, where attacks against Christians rose nearly 75%. So, I mean, if you ask me what I think is, it's kind of a combination of looking at the United States and our weakened stance and look at the assassination and the massacre of Christians in Afghanistan now that we've withdrawn, is that the world sees the United States as weaker and not willing to stand up and defend the values that it cherishes and that it represents our democracy and American exceptionalism, quite frankly. And as a consequence, these other nations, and especially the radical Islamic ones, use it as a license to be aggressive against their internal populations that they don't appreciate or want, and also against their neighbors, as in the case of Turkey and Azerbaijan. So when they don't think the U.S. will do something, then it's time for them to do things that are more bold than they would otherwise do.
Now, you touched on,
unfortunate.
It is indeed. You touched on this point a little a moment ago, but I wanted to have you expand a little bit. You said that, early in March of this past year, you opined that the plight of Christians worldwide would get worse under this current administration. Sadly, it has. But then you said it's just not the outcome. It's not just the outcome of partisan politics, but represents a principle with far-reaching consequences. And you talked about that briefly as to this administration and how it views human rights versus religious freedom contra that of Trump's administration. Take us back there and flesh that out a bit more.
Sure. So this is the policy that this administration is following, and which they've vocalized publicly, is an interdependence of human rights. And religious freedom is just one of the many democratic rights that it'll balance with competing interests, whether those competing interests are human rights issues, and oftentimes it's this administration in particular brings up LGBTQ rights, similar to what Obama's administration did, and focusing on, you know, economic, national security, whatever it may be. But the difference with the previous administration is that it was a hierarchy of rights, meaning religious freedom was the first right, as it is in our Constitution, from which all the other rights would flow. And you can appreciate how important that stance is and how much more other countries respect that stance. Because people think, and Secretary Pompeo was widely criticized for referring to himself when he was in Egypt at his first presentation there, saying, "Hi, my name is Secretary Mike Pompeo, and I'm an evangelical Christian." But what people don't realize is in the Muslim world, they actually respect a person of faith and person that stands on principle, because then they understand who they're sitting across the table from.
On that last point, I'm so glad you put it that way. I wanted to ask you, with your deep and thorough knowledge of the Muslim faith, as we mentioned at the outset, you were a Muslim prior to becoming a follower of Jesus. What is the reaction of many Muslims who just want to live peaceably themselves? They don't want anybody killed. They certainly don't want themselves killed. And they don't celebrate Christians being slaughtered. But the whole Muslim faith community, it seems, is usually painted in people's minds as being totally radicalized. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, and that's very unfortunate, because this is the result of a very vociferous, a violent, aggressive, outspoken minority that has hijacked the mainstream Muslim majority. And so, unfortunately, a lot of them are in control of countries. So whether it's Saudi Arabia or now Afghanistan, in times it waxes and wanes, and in Pakistan and Qatar, that this very vocal extremist movement represents Islam, and everybody else gets swept up in that description or in that behavior. Look at Iran. And so for the majority of mainstream Muslims, yes, they just want basic things out of life. They want not only freedom to practice their religion, but they want safety, security, the well-being of their children. They want economic prosperity. And so you're right. They don't want anyone slaughtered, not themselves or their neighbors. And oftentimes, and this is something I used to talk about quite often when I was a Muslim, because I was part of a sect that was persecuted, was that the extremists are slaughtering the Muslims first. So in their local countries, they are slaughtering the moderate Muslims so that they could establish dominance even before they move on, oftentimes, to Christian or non-Muslim communities.
It's always helpful to talk with you, my friend. Thank you for the time. I hope we can do it frequently this year. And I really appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. God bless you and your listeners.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.